Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hour at Finance Radio. And I was teasing this a little bit with the folks on KTTH when we have our little 30-second blurb, our little 30-second intro, where our good friends in Cairo haven't joined us yet, talking about all the different crazy stuff going on in the market. But again, like I said to our folks on KTTH, the OGs of Know Your Risk Radio, what I said was, starting off, just prayers and thoughts with everybody being affected by the fires. I mean that. Heart goes out to you guys. Like we needed, like anybody needed something else to deal with in 2020, right? The year that just keeps on giving. It's crazy times, looking more and more like arson was the cause of all this. You know, I think, I don't want to get too into it, but when I find myself getting frustrated or demoralized, just feeling defeated in terms of, you know, what's happening culturally here. The one thing I think about is don't look at the waves, don't look at the storm, right? Focus on who you can help, light you can shine. And, you know, I don't mean that as an Pollyannish message, and I'm certainly not trying to preach to anybody. I mean it as much as a reminder to myself. Frosty Westring, my high school football coach, used to remind us all the time, guys, live in the window room. Don't live in the mirror room. And what he was saying is the more you focus on yourself, the more miserable you're going to be. And the more we focus outside, the more we focus on how we can help, the more we focus on who we can help and what we can do to make a difference, not only is it more productive, but it's more sane, right? We're focusing on things we can control and we're getting busy, we're working. Let's be the change we want to see. So anyway, that's just a quick little message. So let's get into the market update. Fascinating stuff going on here, guys. First of all, one of the stories you're going to hear a lot about, we talked about it a few months back when this company first came online via a SPAC. Okay, so think of a SPAC. I think the best way to describe a SPAC is it's amazing how the market regurgitates things and things keep coming back around. Well, what a SPAC is, and I believe it's Special Purpose Acquisition Company or something like that. I think that's what the acronym stands for. Basically, instead of going public, instead of going through the roadshows, instead of going through the IPO process, a quicker way to go public is rolling your corporation into an existing, what we'd call a shell company or a SPAC. It's a publicly traded company that's stayed current with its filings. So it's trading on the exchange, but it's a shell. There's no corporation there. Well, there is. It is a corporation, but there's no guts to it, right? There's no actual underlying company or a company that does anything. And these SPACs can get traded just like stocks. And, there are guys out there, there are companies out there that just trade SPACs and shells. And companies, for whatever reason, if they want to go public, you see this a lot in the natural resource sector and highly speculative things that aren't really suitable for IPOs. You know, like if a company's looking to raise $1 million to go drill in some field hoping there's gold there, you're probably not going to go do the IPO process because you'd spend as much time and money on the IPO process as you'd end up getting. Right. So in a situation like that, you might look for a SPAC or a shell corporation, roll your company into it, and now, boom, you're publicly traded. What you typically don't see are companies the size, you know, Nikola, that company that's coming out, to rival Tesla. Now they're focusing more on trucks, semi-trucks. But you don't typically see a company like that roll into a SPAC and reach a $40-50 billion market cap right out of the gate. And the reason that raised red flags with us is because when you see a corporation like that, if a company was legit and new and was worth a $40 to $50 billion valuation right out of the gate, they wouldn't do a SPAC. And the reason they wouldn't do it, especially in a raging IPO market, is if they went through the IPO process, they'd probably raise more money. And it would be more official. And so it's not that every company that does a SPAC is a fraud. But when you do a SPAC or you go into a shell company, if you go public the way Nikola did, it just raises some red flags. One of the questions right out of the gate is, why did you do this? In a sector that is so hot, in an IPO market that is so hot, I mean, for crying out loud, mortgage companies are going, are IPOing and ripping 50% out of the IPO, right? Why wouldn't you go through that process? And one of the answers, now this isn't, I don't know if Nikola is a fraud or not. I will say there are a lot of red flags, and the way they went public is one of them. Because by doing a reverse merger into a SPAC or a shell corporation, you skip a lot of the deep dive and a lot of the scrutiny you would get through the IPO and the roadshow process. Pardon me, hiccup. And so the question is why, right? If it was everything they said it is, why? And we brought it up to you guys as evidence of how frothy things were when they went public a couple months ago. And of course, everybody ignored it. Now, yesterday, a short seller released a research report with, and let me just tell you, you gotta take everything with a grain of salt, right? Nobody knows 100%, you know, exactly what's going on. Nobody knows what's going to happen. We talk about all that all the time. But one thing you want to do is never dismiss somebody because of what they said. Look at who they are. Look at their track record. And what I will say is the short selling group that came out with this research report against Nikola is very respected. These guys are not a hatchet job company. Now, it doesn't mean they're right, but it means they've got a good track record and that these are serious people. They're not just trying to gyrate a stock. And the reason I think that's interesting is we're sitting here right now with doing great, still 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 doing great. I'm not saying that, you know, it's all over but the crying. But a lot of these market leaders, a lot of these stocks, you know, Tesla, Apple, they think that everybody wants, they're wobbling. Okay, and when a market is this overvalued, you need to be very careful about when the leaders, one of the things that we talk about, some vernacular in the business, is, you know, you look for the generals to get shot. Okay, kind of a brutal wording of that, right? Sounds kind of vicious and violent. But what they mean by that is one of the things you look for the end of a cycle is the stocks, the story stocks, the leaders of that marketplace, right? The generals, the stocks that were out front, the stocks that everybody had to own. Right, Tesla and Apple being pretty good examples of that, when they start struggling. Now, they've gone up a lot, okay? So I don't want to overstate this. But when you see stocks that have led that long get hammered that hard in an overall market that didn't get hammered that hard, that's kind of a sign that the generals are taken out and getting shot. Now, we don't know this is over, but the reason that this is so interesting to me, guys, is that the total economic landscape, the total picture, especially over the next few months, has completely changed. And if you guys have been listening to the show, you have heard us talk, and we're going to get into this in the third segment we do today, about the economic framework, but you've been hearing us talk now for the entire summer that you know, there isn't going to be this V-shaped bounce back, that it's going to look like that at first just by default, just by quote-unquote opening the economy back up. You're going to see that sharp bounce off the bottom. And then you're going to struggle. And we thought the economy would again start struggling in September. Well, okay, the timing, we got it a little bit lucky, but that unemployment report came back out. Now you've got rising unemployment claims again over the last 3 weeks. And what do I think that that's attributed to? I think that that's directly attributed to a pullback in the stimulus. And guys, we've been telling you now for a couple weeks, this stimulus ain't going to get passed prior to the election. And if it does, it's going to be just a stopgap measure. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, could I be wrong? Sure, you can always be wrong. The problem is you've got an entire party that has zero incentive to do anything prior to the election. And regardless of the economic harm that causes, they will justify it because they believe that getting rid of Trump is worth it. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying they're right. Again, we're talking about money. We're talking about investments. Let's pull that out of it. Let's try to strip all our bias off of this topic and just analyze the situation for what it is. Okay? And when you have people or you've got an entire party that will do anything to get rid of this president, I'm just saying, don't expect cooperation that will help him get reelected right before the election. And then when you see these economic numbers tailing off the way they are, okay, and then on top of that, you know that there is no stimulus on the, you know, on the immediate horizon, you need to be careful. You got to take this stuff seriously. And like I said, the generals are getting pulled out and taken, getting shot. The stories like Nikola, right, that did the SPAC that we were just talking about, the reverse merger, right? It's down 16% today on that short selling report. This does not look good. Here's the other one is Tesla got hit hard. What we would have expected to see in this entire run-up. Now, again, it doesn't mean it won't happen, but what you'd expect to see is that those things would bounce back the hardest. Now, Tesla had a nice bounce back there for 2 days. But it's really sort of waned. And if you look at the charts on Tesla, you have a very clearly defined resistance slash support area at 373. We broke through that. Now, for the last two trading sessions, Tesla has struggled to get above. And the reason, again, that's important is because Tesla, all of a sudden, guys, became a pretty heavy weight in the NASDAQ. You know, a stock that swings some weight. And so it has an effect. Same with Apple. Apple is not bouncing back the way you would expect it to. The buy the dippers aren't winning. They're coming in. The buy the dippers are coming in. The problem is as yet, their intensity has been met with sellers. And again, I don't want to call a top here because that's a fool's errand. But these are the kind of things that you would expect to see. Now, does that mean it's a permanent top? Does that mean we're plunging to 40 or 50% below? No. What I'm saying, though, is risk management, right? We're always talking about that. Bottom line is, I don't care what gets announced. We need to be very careful between now and the election. All right, because you saw what happened earlier this year, right? Saying, oh, it's just 2 months. Now, guys, when you're this overheated, when a market is run this far, if March didn't prove anything to you, you can lose, you know, months worth of or years worth of gains in a very short period of time. And this is why we need a risk management strategy, right? This is why we feel comfortable still having our clients exposed here, you know, tighten up some things, making sure, you know, all the windows are shut and making sure we're prepared for the worst. But we've got a risk management strategy. We've got defense built into everything we own. So if we're wrong and this thing keeps going up, great, we're going to benefit. It just doesn't look like that right now. And like I said, in normal times, we'd say, hey, it's 2 months. Don't worry about it, right? It's just short-term oscillations. But then you've got to step back and consider where you're at, that you're at the end of the longest bull market in U.S. history, that you're at record high valuations, that you've had stocks run up more in the last 6 months than in any six-month period in the history of the market. You know, that you are at such extreme historical maxes. So truthfully, anything can happen. And especially when you've got an economic backdrop that is this weak and you have no real hope of immediate, you know, stimulus being poured into it. And I'll just continue to say it. It doesn't mean that this economy won't recover. But in the short term, if you want to keep seeing this quote unquote V-shaped recovery, you have to have the spigots turned up. And even then, that doesn't guarantee it. And I think the biggest thing happening right now, we've talked about this, but I think the biggest thing happening right now is that the stock market is masking a lot of economic weakness. That so many of us are used to looking at the stock market as a guide of knowing where we are. Are things going good or not? Let's look at the stock market. Well, what we all have to accept now is that that is not telling us the story that it has in the past. It is not the data point that it's been in the past. Right? Because it's being juiced. It's being juiced by the Federal Reserve. It's being juiced by artificially low interest rates. So money supply is actually driving market action more than anything, money supply in a mania. And then there's another thing that I want to get into that we've talked about this on the show, well, multiple times. But a guy that I respect in the business probably as much or more than anybody is a guy by the name of Stan Druckenmiller, who, in my opinion, is the greatest money manager of all time. He cut his chops and really kind of started making his name when he worked with George Soros running the Quantum Fund. Now, before you write him off, you know, whether you like Soros or not, before you write him off, he's a far different character than Soros, much different political outlook, but they're both brilliant money managers. And Druckenmiller ran a fund, and over his 30-year career, he averaged a 32% annual rate of return, never had a down year, and in those 30 years only had four negative quarters. Okay, so the guy is one of the best to ever do it. He's a machine. He gave an interview on CNBC this week where he came out and said, listen, there's no question about it. This is a raging stock mania. He's like, this doesn't make any sense. And he said, this is absolutely a bubble. And I think people are underestimating the threat of inflation. And, you know, he just said what we've been talking about. Now, listen, again, does it guarantee he's right? No. I mean, he's got a pretty good track record. I'm not going to bet against him. But again, you know, and he'd be the first one to tell you, he doesn't have a crystal ball either. But just a lot of warning signs out there. Another one, oil got hammered the other day. Yet, was it 2 days ago? It was down like 8%, 7.5%. That's a demand issue. That's a demand issue. I think people are seeing that things are just, right, there's this expectation, like I said, that we've got this V-shaped recovery and boom, we're going back to it. That's just not the case. And oil's telling you that. The unemployment claims are telling you that. Economic output is telling you that. Even the studies like we were talking about, ISM readings and all that kind of stuff, they're saying that, right? It's none of this stuff is awful. But you've still got this V-shaped recovery narrative out there and there just isn't anything backing it up, right? So we need to be really careful. And the other thing we need, guys, and I'm not just saying it because it's our book. I'm not just saying it because this is the way we do it. But you have to have a risk management strategy. You got, I had several people call in this week that were like, Zach, we've been listening to you for 6 months, a year, 8 months. We're still sitting on our bonds. And you know, I've been listening now for months and you increasingly make more sense. And I keep asking myself as the market goes up and my bonds do nothing and don't pay me, what am I doing? And I know for a fact there are more of you out there. Okay. Take the opportunity to educate yourself. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Guys, if you're losing sleep, if you're worried, if you're concerned, and based on valuations and the underlying economic data, you should be. We're not Chicken Littles. We're not saying the sky is falling. But, you know, it is very dark outside. It is raining. There is side-blowing wind. There's some icy conditions on the road. These are not safe market times. Okay, and having a risk management strategy that limits your downside but is still allowing you to participate to the upside. And guys, you can do it paying less fees, making more to the upside when markets go up. More. But with substantially less downside risk. It really is a no-brainer. And if you want to know how we're doing that, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Also, we got our free webinar coming out. Only have about, geez, we're almost filled up already, but only have about 20 spots left, something like that. That's going to be on September 24th. Yes, Thursday, September 24th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You go to our website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can sign up for it there. It's no cost. Takes a half hour. We walk you through our portfolios, walk you through our financial planning process, and it's simple. So sign up. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a really hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk virtual roadshow Thursday, September 24th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you so much for joining us. A little bit more on the market update. We talked about oil. Gold is interesting here. It's kind of in no man's land, honestly. I don't really know what to make of gold right here. Again, I think gold is one of those things, and we're going to get into this a little bit in the next segment. And it's a weird segment, okay? So I want you to have an open mind as we go into this next segment. But we're going to talk about the dangers of buy and hold investing, okay? Now, I know, just keep an open mind. I am not advocating day trading. I am not advocating a lot of trading. What I'm going to talk about, though, is the potential dangers of buy and hold investing. And that comes right into gold. Am I worried about gold in the short term? No. And the reason for that is, guys, is I don't want our clients, and even I do not think of gold as quote unquote an investment. Gold is an alternative to money for us. That's the way we look at it. Gold is an insurance policy, which is why we don't want it making up 50% of our assets, right? It's part of a diversified portfolio. It's a protective aspect of the portfolio that preserves our purchasing power and benefits from governments doing what they're currently doing, which is just printing money and spending it, right? And so with gold, I'm not too worried about the short term, right? I mean, you know, there's times where we've got a little more on, there's times where we've got a little less. But, you know, from here to this end of the cycle, for quite a while, we will have gold now as a permanent part of the portfolio because of what's going on. So there are certain things in the portfolio, like gold, that you shouldn't pay attention to. And the way you survive manias like the ones we're currently in, the way you survive irrational markets is by through mental discipline and emotional discipline, making sure you don't buy into the nonsense, making sure that you don't get caught up in short-term thinking, focusing on what I make over the next 12 months and lose sight of the fact that what we are doing, when we're investing, what we are doing is we are trying to finance the rest of your life. What we make now, or between now and November 4th, is immaterial. It really is. And the problem is these manias suck everybody in because people think you're missing out. Right? They hear the party raging and they got to get in. They'll climb through the window. They'll climb through a door. They'll do whatever they got to do. And they get short-term thinking. And, oh, if gold looks like it's going to go down, oh, we got to sell it. And if, oh, this stock's going up, oh, we got to buy it. And we stop, we lose sight of that perspective, which is, what are we doing here? We are trying to finance the rest of your life. Why are we thinking in 3 and 4 month increments? That's not the game. And therein lies the need for our risk strategies, our risk management approach. Because what you need to know, the number one thing you need to know in retirement, is that the money's there when you need it. I was joking the other day with a client. I said, look, clients worry so much about the return on their capital that a lot of times they forget to worry about the return of their capital. Meaning it doesn't matter what your long-term rate of return is over the next 20 years if when you need the money, it's not there. Right? It's a very binary scenario. It's either there or it's not. And that's the real danger here. The other real danger, especially for those clients out there still sitting in their 60-40 portfolios, you've got 40% of your investable assets doing nothing, going backwards because they are paying you net of fees less than the inflation rate on your money. And every time the market tanks, those bonds, and bonds are what we're talking about, those bonds are going right alongside it. It's a useless investment, which is why we have a bond replacement strategy. Right? That goes up with the stock market when it goes up, but you're insured against loss when it goes down and you don't pay a fee. And for those skeptics out there, they're like, oh, there's a lot of tricks. Look, we're fiduciaries. We wouldn't be on the radio still talking about this stuff if it was a gimmick. I've been on 5 years, for crying out loud. Okay, inform yourself. Be open to the idea that there are things out there that you don't know about and you don't understand and that can help you. And there was zero risk of loss. Being insured against loss, not paying a fee, you can double up what the bonds are paying you with infinitely less risk. And then our stock portfolios that have defense built into it. Guys, we designed it for these times. We designed it for the retirement portfolio. We designed it because clients need certainty in these times that, look, yes, if markets keep going up, we're going to do great. But most importantly, it doesn't matter what happens. We're good no matter what. We're good either way. If markets keep going up, great. If markets plummet, I'm not happy about it, but I'm not freaking out because it's not going to make me cancel my vacation. It's not going to make me quit having to pay for, you know, granddaughter Susie's college education. Right? Because I'm protected. Take the 3 to 5 minutes to invest in the rest of your financial life, to, if nothing else, just to educate yourself with our Common Sense Investment Booklet. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for our free webinar that's coming out September 24th, Thursday at 3 p.m. Going to be joined by Dory, the mouth that rocks Seattle, as I like to tease him about. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back and address the dangers of a long-term buy and hold strategy. If you want to know more about our risk management strategy that we deploy with all of our clients, call us at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. This is Know Your Risk Radio at AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
You know, we can't always count on good health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel in having long-term care coverage. And if you've been thinking about it but have questions, there's a great time to get answers. Join me with my friends from 525 Advisors this Wednesday at 3 p.m. right after the big show for their free long-term care planning live webinar. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and discover all the new options, different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will work with you to design your custom plan, just as they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay us back if we never use it. I love the amount of time they spent with us. And it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So reserve your spot today. Join Brian and me this Wednesday at 3 p.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. It's free. I'll be a part of it as well. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show. Zach, I'm really excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
Oh, I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
So join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. So, hey, let's kick this off. little controversial segment here, going to ruffle some feathers. Got any of some old school financial advisors out there, they're going to hear this and go, this is blasphemy. But it's not. The dangers of buy and hold investing. What do I mean by that? First of all, let me clarify. I am not talking about the dangers of buy and hold investing as it relates to guys like Warren Buffett, okay? And part of the reason is because Warren doesn't pay attention to short-term market fluctuations. He doesn't care what this is doing. He's taking a long-term view, which in my opinion, that is totally appropriate. What I mean is that when we get into these stock manias, when we get into these scenarios that we are currently in, one of the most common ways that I see people justify buying ridiculously overpriced stocks, and look, the reason they want to buy them is the same reason it's hard for us not to buy them, right? You feel like you're missing a party. It's the fear of missing out. It's very real. You know, they say the hardest thing in investing is watching your neighbor get rich. Right? That's, if you want to know what FOMO is, fear of missing out, that's what that means. You end up capitulating and buying Tesla because you're like, everybody's made so much money, I just can't sit out anymore. And then once you're in it, because we as human beings are incredible at justifying things, right? Once we're in it, we justify buying something that we know we probably shouldn't buy. We justify it because you go, oh, short-term fluctuations don't mean anything to me. I'm a long-term investor. Well, you're going to need to be a long-term investor. And I think 1999 really shows us, you know, what's going on. People always tell these stories. If you invested in Amazon, right? If you invested in Amazon back in 97, you put $1,000 in there today, you know, today you'd have 3 million or whatever the case may be. We've all seen those scenarios, right? If you invested so much money at this period of time. Now, what they don't tell you is that you had to, during that process, you had to lose over 90% of your investment in Amazon, and you had to stay in the red for 13 years. Again, I'm going to say something that's kind of shocking. If it really doesn't matter where Amazon ends up in a retirement portfolio, if you have an entire portfolio that is geared or exposed to that kind of risk, it's not going to work. And here's why. Amazon eventually came back, right? But if you had a retirement portfolio, and let's say you retired in 2002, you needed income off that portfolio immediately. If that portfolio is down 80 or 90%, it doesn't matter where it gets in 2013 or 2014 or 2015, because you've got to finance your retirement and you're going to have to sell that stock, whether you like to or not, because that's how we generate money out of a retirement portfolio to pay our bills. So it sounds, and this is why I'm constantly pounding on the idea that, guys, once we enter retirement, the approach has to change, because owning the investments that pay out over the long run isn't good enough, because you've got to rely on those investments every day in retirement. Is that making sense? So if you've got these investments that are overpriced and you're using the buy and hold strategy to justify your fear of missing out, you're forgetting the fact that, yes, you're right. Maybe 10 to 12 years from now, that stock will be 6, 7, 8 times more expensive than it is today. But if it loses 80 or 90% in that period of time, and I'm just telling you, a lot of these high flyer stocks are going to do that. Why? Because they're trading at 60, 70, 80, 90 times revenue. A valuation multiple that expensive is not justifiable over the long term. It's not going to happen. It never has. And just think about it. If a stock is trading at a 70 or 80 times revenue and it loses 70%, it's still trading at like 20 times revenue, which is still nosebleed expensive. Remember, not times profit, times revenue. So to put that in perspective, and this is what people are losing sight of, to conceptualize how expensive that is and how nonsensical it is, let's put it into layman's terms, okay? Let's say you and I are investors and we are walking around, and I've used this analogy on the show before, but remember, stocks are stocks, but at the end of the day, they are just companies. And we forget that because we watch that stock symbol going up, we watch it going down, and we apply way too much meaning to that in the interim. And we forget that what we're dealing with is a fundamental company, right? A company. And Tesla is a perfect example, right? What has Tesla done this year to deserve, you know, going up 460% or whatever? Nothing. I mean, they haven't had a bad year, but they're priced like a massive growth stock and they're not growing, which is a problem. But to put it in, why we focus on valuation, again, remember, we're buying a stock, we're buying a business. Now, publicly traded companies typically trade at a higher valuation than private businesses because they're more liquid, which means there's less risk, right? If we want to get out of a stock, we just push a button and we're out. If we want to sell a business, that can take time. And time can expose us to risks that we don't see coming. Right? Maybe we decide we're going to sell our business because it's gone way up in value. And as soon as, you know, you go to sell it in February of this year, then coronavirus hits. Right? You can't just push that money and sell it. But the underlying principles are the same thing. We're buying a company. So let's say we're looking at a corner store. And we're saying, hey, you know, that's good real estate. The corner store will make enough to pay us a little bit of profit while we sit and hold this real estate. It'll pay us a little profit and it'll cover the property tax. So basically this corner store, we make a little money, but we also get the appreciation of the underlying real estate. We get a write off a good portion of the income we're making through depreciation. It's a great idea, right? It's kind of like a drive-in movie theater. Most drive-in movie theaters were made to hold land. Right? So the land would produce just enough income to offset the cost of ownership. So it created what we call a positive carry or zero carry, meaning we get to own the asset and there's no cost to owning it, right? It pays for itself. So same idea with a corner store, except the corner store is more evergreen, right? It's not as seasonal as a drive-in movie theater. So let's say we're out shopping for this investment. We see this corner store on a really good location and we see a for sale sign. We walk in there and the guy says, what do you want to sell this place for? And he goes, first of all, hey, we're looking at buying something like this. What is your revenue per year? He goes, we do about $250,000 of revenue a year. And what do you profit off that? About $50,000. Okay. And I've got no clue whether that's even close to right for a corner store or gas station, but just stay with me for the analogy. And we go, okay, so we're doing the math in our head going, okay, $225,000 a year, $250,000 a year in revenue. You're making $40,000 a year off that, $50,000 a year off that profit. Okay, not too bad. That's about the scenario we're looking for. What will you sell it for? What's the price you want for it? And he goes, $22 million. And we go, pardon me? And he goes, yeah, $22 million. And you go, wait a second. You just said you do $250,000 a year in revenue, right? He goes, yeah. We go, okay, well, how in the world could I pay $22 million for that? Well, he's like, look at the stock market. Shopify's going for 80 times sales. I don't even know what that is. What would that be? I might even be way too conservative on that. Let's see here. Hold on with me. Little math, guys. We're going to go $250,000 here times 80. Yeah, 20 million, right on the button. I said 22. Even a broken clock's right twice a day. Anyway, and you're scratching your head going, that doesn't make any sense. How long will it take me to get my money back? And he goes, well, we're growing revenues 10% a year. You start doing the math, you're like, okay, that means next year we'll be at $275,000 in revenue, making $55,000 a year in profit. And you sit there and you think, holy smokes, if we keep growing at 10% a year, which nothing is going to grow at 10% a year without any kind of hesitation, right? How long will it take us just to get the $22 million back? Because remember, we got to get the $22 million back by way of profit before the asset even gets in the green. And when you get into bubbles like this, people focus on the fact the stock's going up and they quit paying attention to the underlying valuation. They quit paying attention to the fact that, holy smokes, even if this company continues to grow at this rate, which is really good, they'd have to grow at this rate for 15 or 20 years without a hiccup just for me to get back to even on my investment before I even become profitable. And this is why I talk about the dangers of buy and hold investing, especially for people that are close to or in retirement. Because you could be right. Maybe you're buying the next Amazon. But if it does what Amazon does, you're still going to go bust because you've got to rely on those assets. You're going to have to sell that stock to finance your lifestyle, right? Because when that stock crashes, when this market really crashes and stays crashed, which it will at some point, it's only an inevitability, right? It has to happen eventually. Your cost of living doesn't go down. So now what seemed like 3 or 4% we were pulling out of your account per year, now it's 10 to 12% or 15. And 2 or 3 years of taking income on, you know, on a portfolio that's down that much. Now you're like, well, Zach, I'm not in danger of being down that much. I own some ETFs. You are in danger of being down that much because your ETFs, pretty much everything you own is almost, you know, 35%, 40% tech. And you don't have a risk management strategy. Your whole thing is buy and hold. So buying and holding things that have appropriate value and that make sense and that are producing cash flows that are paying you, that is smart. But do not use buy and hold. Do not make the classic mistake, well, I don't care, I'm in it for the long term. Boy, when you're buying things this expensive, guys, you better be in it for the long term, because it's not if you get hammered, it's when. And it doesn't mean that that company isn't going to succeed in the long run. It doesn't mean that that company isn't every bit as good as you think it is. I think that's the case with a lot of these stocks out there today. I think they're phenomenal companies. I think there's phenomenal new technology. The problem is that the next 15 to 20 years worth of growth are already priced into the bloody stock. And if you're 35 and you want to ride it out and your attitude is, hey, if it goes down 90, I'm backing up the truck. You know what? More power to you. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. Just make sure you're picking the right ones. But when we get to retirement, it all changes. You can't afford those kind of losses because you have to rely on the equity to fund your lifestyle. We have to be much more careful about what we're buying. We have to be much more careful about what we're owning. And I've seen it a million times. Once again, I know there are a bunch of people on this radio show right now listening to this radio show that fit this description, where Tesla and Apple stock split and you went out and bought them because you thought it was a buying opportunity. And you're in retirement. I'll tell you right now, based on the valuations of both those companies, those are not the companies you should be owning. And if you own them, Tesla much more so than Apple. Apple's a phenomenal company that produces phenomenal profits. The problem is it's just gotten ridiculously expensive considering its growth. Now, if you're going to own them, own very small percentages. Maybe it's just a flyer. But what you should be looking at is what almost nobody is. There's a lot of great companies out there right now that have been completely passed over, that are paying wonderful dividends at reasonable valuations. We just bought one in the portfolio the other day, and this is not a recommendation, but HanesBrands, right? Boring. Nobody wants that kind of thing. Why'd we buy it? Because it's cheap, it's well capitalized, and it's paying a 4% dividend. And those revenue streams are rock solid. Those are the kind of things that in a market this expensive, you should be looking for. The other reason is you know, the thing, one of the biggest mistakes I think people are making right now is a lot of companies, ironically, we're in this 0% interest rate world, right? Nobody can get yield anywhere. And yet nobody wants to own these dividend paying stocks that are paying 4, 5, 6% dividends, that are big, tough companies that aren't going anywhere. I'm just going to tell you, at some point, I don't know when, at some point, these companies throwing off 4, 5, 6, even 7% dividends that are rock solid. Guys, in a 0% interest rate world where nobody can make any yield, it's only a matter of time until those things become hot commodities. But it takes discipline. If you want to buy and hold those kind of things, then so do I. We're simpatico on that. But if you are looking at the majority of these tech stocks, these high flyers, and thinking, well, I'm a long-term investor, I'm just going to buy and hold, you know, that's just what I'm going to do. No, you're lying to yourself. Because you own something that even if it dropped 80%, it'd still be really expensive. I mean, and it's only a matter of time until that plays out. What does Buffett tell us again? In the short run, markets are voting mechanisms. That's what's going on right now. People are just voting. in the long run, they're weighing mechanisms. They're going to weigh what's there, and eventually that corporation, eventually that stock, the price of it is going to resemble the underlying assets. The price of it is going to resemble the cash flows. The price of it is going to resemble the profits. And what you've got right now are a bunch of good companies, but are at prices that they cannot justify. Another one, Peloton. Great company doing great things. Love the products. You look at the price of the stock. It's just gotten ridiculous. And again, I don't know when, but this is where discipline comes into investing. I don't know when these things are going to get hit, but what I know is that I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to stay conservative. And what am I thinking for? I'm thinking for the long term. So I'm going to keep an eye on those stocks. And when they get hit, when those valuations make more sense, that's where we step in. One of the most important, profound things I ever heard in my life as an investor, again, was from Buffett. And he said, "Buff, investing's like baseball, except you can take as many pitches as you want." Right? It's just like baseball. You can take as many pitches as you want. Now, if you swing and miss, that counts as a strike in investing, right? You lose money. But you don't have to swing. And people forget that. They see cash sitting in their account and they're like, well, that Tesla's going up. I got to get in there. It's better than sitting in cash. We start justifying these moves, right? Rather than remembering, wait a second, if there aren't any good pitches, I'm going to sit back and wait, especially for people in retirement, especially for people approaching retirement. And then most importantly, we need to have an underlying defensive strategy built in, because what do we know? We know that if our portfolio loses 40 or 50%, that is going to constrain our lifestyle. That is going to constrain the retirement that we have literally worked for our entire lives. So you need to approach investing and portfolio management once you're in retirement or you're approaching retirement. You need to approach that from an angle of, what works best in the long run? Is this going to help me finance the rest of my lifestyle? And you also have to approach it first and foremost from a risk strategy perspective, meaning right out of the gate, I'm looking at somebody's portfolio. What is the scenario based on their life? What could happen? So if their portfolio lost 35%, they could no longer fund their retirement. Okay, then let's go backwards. Priority number one, build a portfolio that doesn't lose 35%. Right? Think about it. We're all caught up thinking about the rate of returns, yet the first thing we should be dealing with is, let's eliminate the things that blow this up. Then from there, let's worry about the work, and that is especially, or excuse me, worry about the returns. And that is especially true in a market that's trading at record valuations, which is why we deploy a risk management strategy. And if you do it correctly, like we do it, and you use the bond replacement that's making significantly more money than the bonds, we can build this portfolio, and then the stock portfolios have protection in them too. We can take advantage of the fact that the bond portion of our portfolio is making more money. So if we make a little less on the stock side, we're still competitive and better than the traditional stock bond approach. The difference is when the bottom falls out, you're good. Like I said earlier this year, average 60-40 portfolio allocation for us was down less than 6% when the market was down 36. This year, that same portfolio is up 4 or 5, right up there with market performance. Now, it's fluctuating on a day-to-day basis, but my whole point remains the same. We're not giving up upside. And these are the things you got to think about in retirement planning, especially in times like these. If markets had already crashed and we were at like a 6 or 7 PE on the S&P 500, this is where all we're doing is talking about buying and holding. Because we're buying things at cheap valuations, we're buying them at discounts, and it's only a matter of time until things turn back around, the economy recovers, and it goes. This is just the opposite of that. The economy's been blown to heck, and the stock markets act like, you know, it's never been better. And if you want to know how we're doing this, which you should, everybody should, here's the other thing. The way we're doing things, guys, is a prelude of the way that everybody's going to be doing them. And we're already seeing that adoption starting to take place. So one of the things I tell people, I go, listen, do it now or do it later. You're going to do it eventually. The sooner you do it, the less pain you're going to have. It's really that simple. And all the while, you're going to get more upside, less downside, and pay less fees. I get fired up about it because it's just a better way to do things. Anyway, we'll have to see the way markets end this week. But anyway, be very careful. This market is sending a lot of nasty signs, just like we feared. You got rising unemployment claims now 3 weeks in a row. This is what we expected. We've got no stimulus at anywhere on the horizon. Guys, right now is maximum danger time. It's maximum danger time. We don't want to time markets, but again, we're dealing with retirement, right? When we see maximum danger signs, we put on the brakes. Why? Because we know that a catastrophic loss isn't what we can take. We're not timing. Matter of fact, when they roll out the next stimulus bill, which they will, it'll probably come after the election, that'll probably be a great time to add stocks to it. You guys know the deal. If that interests you, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, order our free Common Sense Investment booklet. Sign up for the webinar we've got coming up on Thursday, the 24th of this month. It's free. We've got about 20 seats left, I want to say. Dory's going to be with us. Takes about 30 minutes. Then we do a Q&A. We're not keeping you forever, but we walk you through each of our portfolios. We explain the bond replacement strategy. We tell you what they cost. We walk you through our planning process. And boom, that's it, 30 minutes. And then we do a little Q&A afterwards. And it's free. Right? Just educate yourselves. Invest the time. There is a better way to do it. There are better solutions out there that cost you less, that risk you far less, and that make you as much or more. Okay, invest that 3 minutes to make that call or sign up on the website. Anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Sign up for the webinar. Get the Common Sense Investment booklet. You guys know the drill. Have a wonderful weekend. Praying for all those people being suffering by the suffering from the fires out there. You know, tough times. Let's all stick together. Help your neighbor. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend. And finally, I got to say this again. Go Hawks. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.